There was no deleting or changing of votes, and this was the most secure election in American history.
I think it is safe to say this is the most secure election we've ever held in the United States.
The nation's top federal election infrastructure agency says this year's election was, quote, the most secure in history.
Despite all of the concerns leading up to the election, this was ultimately determined to be our most secure election ever.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. If you were watching the election of 2020 and the aftermath of that, well, that's what you heard. Most secure election ever. We heard it over and over again. And it was, well, let's see, it was ABC and NBC and CBS and CNN and Fox News. Yep. And even Newsmax joined in for a while. We're going to talk about that today. So, and then all of the media outlets and all of the periodicals, all of the news outlets, they all said that, oh, over and over and over again. Most secure election, most secure election. Well, if you listen to me for the last, I don't know how many years, since 2020, you know that I have reported to you all the time, constantly, as soon as I got the information, that that was a lie. It was a lie then, and it's a lie now. And President Trump came out last week. I'm talking to you on Tuesday, July the 21st. He came in out last Thursday night and made a speech on what exactly was happening. Now, there's a lot more detail since that speech, and Bruce is going to join me today, and we're going to try to do our best to bring this to you. I want to tell you right now before we start this show that I am committed to covering this stuff as faithfully as I can from now until the midterms. I have tremendous fear that many of you don't know and are not hearing, and I'll tell you why that is in the midst of this broadcast today. But you're going to hear a lot today, and we're going to concentrate today on President Trump's speech last Thursday night, because guess what? Did you hear it? Were you able to hear it? Because, I'll go to that discussion. Many of you were not, and certainly your friends and neighbors, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue because the major networks refuse to cover it. So we're going to change that. We're going to fix it in any way we can. I want to give you a show that you can pass on to friends and family so that we can spread the word. If they're going to try to censor us, we're going to stop them. We're going to stop them. We're going to tell the truth no matter what. But first, well, we're living in a defining moment in many, many ways. But on the issue of life, it's just getting violent. I'm sure you know it's getting violent on everything. People that represent really goodness are being attacked. Charlie Kirk was assassinated. There was another assassination across the pond in England just a few days ago. An international pro-life leader was assassinated in her home. We think in her bed. She was 78 years old. Her name is Anne Whittacombe. Perhaps you've heard of her. I can't spend a lot of time talking about her, but she has the most beautiful countenance. Because she was trying to save the lives of the babies, because you know why? Because she believes in the sacredness of life. So she gets murdered in her bed. A suspected killer is a 28-year-old Joshua Carey. So we'll find out what happens over there. But my point is, this is serious business. It's not business as usual. It truly isn't. And I make it my goal to have you not get casual about any of this, to sit up and take notice and be willing in your own mind and your own heart and your own body to fight when you need to, if it's just verbally, but respectfully, but make the case. Don't remain silent. And certainly in these upcoming elections, don't be silent. Make yourself educated on the candidates in your state and then do something about, otherwise we're going to lose the midterms, meaning conservatives. It's going to be gone. And you will be so sorry. And when your parents, your kids ask you later, what did you do during that time, Mom and Dad? That was a turning point in the country. What did you do? You're going to be so ashamed that you can't say you did anything. So don't let that happen. And so Preborn, of course, is in the business of saving lives. I don't know what Anna Whittacombe, you know, what her approach was. I'll read more about it, maybe tell you later, but this method of saving lives is showing moms their babies. That's the secret sauce. That's the, you know, the intriguing part about it. And it actually works. It actually works. When moms, doesn't surprise me. But when moms see their babies moving around in their womb, sucking their thumb, whatever, their little heart's beating, And maybe a nose like their brother or their mother, or, you know, eyes like somebody. It's just wonderful. And most moms just can't bring themselves to ending their lives. So if you would like to help us save more babies using these photos and these ultrasound images to show the moms, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. It's $28 for one ultrasound, and make your most generous donation. All right, stay tuned, because the next thing you're going to hear is the Trump speech on the election from last Thursday night. He was, I would say, very subdued. He was not bombastic at all. And so he delivered what we've known for a long time, which disputes all of the nonsense of these media networks. We're going to hear it right now on this show, Sandy Rios, 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
America is back and doing really well, but we still have a major challenge that must be urgently addressed, because no country can be great without fair and honest elections. You have to trust your country, because if there can be no trust, there can be no greatness. And that's very simple. No trust, no greatness. For many years, I've called for bold, swift, and decisive action to protect the integrity of America's elections. Every American deserves to know that when they cast their vote, that vote will be counted accurately in a system, and that is to make that system secure, one where cheating and interference are not just difficult, but virtually impossible. Unfortunately, the system we have today falls catastrophically short of that standard. Tonight, I'm announcing the immediate declassification and release of critical intelligence revealing shocking vulnerabilities in our election infrastructure. This evidence shows that the election system we have dangerously exposes like levels never thought possible to hacking, exploitation, and foreign interference. Just as disturbingly, this vital information has for many years been covered up and hidden from you, the American people, our beautiful, our great American people. But that all changes right now. The documents we will release starting tonight have been gathered by the White House Government Transparency Task Force, a great group of people, along with the staff of the President's Intelligence Advisory Board, supported by our top intelligence agency chiefs, who have all personally reviewed the findings we are presenting this evening and fully confirmed their authenticity. You can see these documents for yourself at whitehouse.gov. That's whitehouse.gov. Go check it out. Our purpose in disclosing this information is not to weaken confidence in election, but to earn that confidence by confronting vulnerabilities and correcting them very, very quickly. And that's what we're doing. The documents cover five major areas of concern. First, they show that over a period of years, starting during the 2020 election cycle, the People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files. That information includes names, addresses, phone numbers, political party preferences, and other sensitive data that would be needed to register to vote and engage in other nefarious activities, which is exactly what was happening. This data loss presents an unprecedented election security nightmare. The intelligence even shows that China has signed a data exploitation unit specifically to this new project. Compounding the travesty, the second set of documents we are releasing reveals that members of the deep state, very, very famous group of people, in many cases, in our intelligence agency work to actively suppress and downplay information about the extent of China's sinister election meddling, covering it up from both the president and the American people like nobody thought was possible. U.S. spy agencies began learning about the compromise of voter registration files in 2020 when they discovered that tens of millions of voter data, think of that, tens of millions of voters' data in 18 states have been bought, stolen, or hacked by China. Yet those responsible for sounding the alarm instead kept the information secret and hidden. They did not disclose to me as president or to anyone else, and to the best of our knowledge, they did not inform Congress. In fact, all they kept saying is, this is the most secure election in the history of our country, a standard, very pat line that was divvied out to say. The cover-up of this colossal security breach is even more disturbing in light of the additional information showing that China engaged in other election-related activities to undermine my first administration and our 2020 campaign. They did not want, and they just didn't want it. They fought like hell not to have it, Donald Trump, to win, and for good reason. As the documents we are releasing show, CIA reporting explicitly stated, and I quote, in mid-2018, the Chinese Communist Party's policy was to leverage all domestic and foreign elements that were opposed to the U.S. president in an effort to reduce the U.S. president's votes and make him resign or prevent his reelection. Isn't that nice? Also, in mid-2018, China was working to influence the results of the U.S. midterm elections and later the results of the 2020 presidential election itself. Separately, in mid-2019, the Chinese government's strategy against the United States was focused on undermining domestic confidence in the U.S. president. They wanted to just make you sound like your president wasn't so hot, when actually your president has done a great job, and they did everything possible to do exactly that. Going on, this document says, and this is by the CIA, the strategy included efforts to use Chinese contacts with big U.S. companies to influence U.S. business leaders to turn against the President of the United States of America. The Chinese government sought to identify U.S. journalists who had reported negatively on the U.S. president and pay them large sums of money to write more negative articles about him, as many as they could, and they didn't care what they said. The Chinese government wanted U.S. president to lose the next election, and the reason they wanted me to lose is because they knew I was wise to them, charged them billions and billions of dollars worth of tariffs, and built the strongest military anywhere in the world. We have the strongest military anywhere in the world. These are exact quotes from the CIA reporting. The name of the person doing the quote is now under review, but it gets even worse. Raw intelligence obtained by the FBI in 2020, yet buried by rogue bureaucrats, stated that China's activities even included an attempt to manufacture illegal ballots for Joe Biden. Documents show that during this period, dozens of significant CIA and NSA reports about China's election targeting were kept out of the presidential briefing. These were briefings I would get almost every day. Everything was kept out that was of importance. One email among intelligence analysts admitted that they had, quote, deliberately massaged the presidential daily briefing to withhold information regarding Chinese activities related to the election. Another official inside the FBI wrote that she was running, quote, a shadow government, unquote, to keep intelligence about China's election meddling from becoming known and to keep it away from the honorable press.
Okay, so that's the first part of President Trump's speech. Now, I know that some of you may be saying, oh, I heard that speech, but you know what? If you cannot call your neighbor and explain to them everything he said in that speech last Thursday night, then you've got to listen again, just like Bruce and I have, over and over again. There's just too much in that to assume you can do one listen and have it. You don't. And why do I care? Because I know that our elections have been stolen for years now. Why do you think we have these horrible people in office? There has been fraud and ballot stealing and ballot stuffing and election machine changes. All of this has been happening. All of it. All of it. Ballot boxes, you know, in the middle of nowhere, voting, you know, on street corners. I mean, it's dead people voting. It's everything. It's all of that. And now we know that the Chinese were up to their ears in part of it. But it's not just the Chinese. We're going to talk about them. In fact, Gordon Chang is going to be our guest tomorrow. We're going to talk to him. And we'll probably do three podcasts this week because of this. And we'll talk to Gordon about the part on the Chinese. Bruce, my sweetheart, and also a former FBI agent. Just if you could, what things stood out to you as you listened to that? We've heard it many times. But what do you think are the most important things for people to remember?
Well, I think if you kind of scoffed or never believed in having a deep state in our government, this ought to be the biggest proof that you've ever seen. You have actual documents coming from the people themselves that were telling us that the 2020 election between Joe Biden and President Trump was the most secure election in history.
What laugh
we know,
track.
Yeah, it really insert if it wasn't so serious, you'd say insert laugh track there. You know, people have scoffed at this for years that Trump is just a sore loser, and he doesn't have any proof that there was cheating in the 2020 election. His own people, I think of Bill Barr, I think of other people within the administration. You just played someone from the Republican Party saying, you know, either put up or shut up. We don't think there's anything there. You're tearing us apart. And now the goods are here. I think there's no denying this isn't just information. This is information right from the mouths and the pens of people who were pulling the levers to manipulate the 2020 election. And if you ever saw a case of projection, you know, you learned about that in school. What is projection? Projection is accusing your opponent of doing the exact thing that you are really doing. And I think that's what we've seen here.
Bruce, if I don't emphasize anything else today, this is the one thing I'm going to spend a minute on here, and we'll come back to it. It is the deception of the media. Now, you probably heard President Trump saying that. I think he said in that first clip, if not, you'll hear it in a second, that China paid lots of money to media organizations, personalities in the news, any kind of influencers, to lie, to make up stories about President Trump, to defame him, to try to do anything to stop him from being elected. And one has to wonder how many people took him up on that. And that happened in Congress, too. Why do you think those congressmen and senators are acting the way they're acting, refusing to pass the SAVE Act? Doesn't it make you wonder why they would be so opposed to it? It does me. I'll tell you that. Especially if my wife were, you know, sitting next to the vice president of the Communist Party while I was sick. That would be Mitch McConnell. His wife was visiting with him. Friendly, because they have a very good relationship. They're shipbuilders in China, her family. Elaine Chao is an American, but I'll mention that. We'll talk about that with Gordon, actually, when he joins me. But I want to really make this very clear. This is Axios. Axios is a leftist press outlet in D.C., but I think it spreads itself to the rest of the country, too, but maybe not as well known. The big picture. Thursday evening won't receive live coverage among at least two of the four major networks. The address, which is expected to center around election security, puts ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox between a rock and a hard place. They have to either air potentially false claims about the 2020 election or risk backlash from the White House and a confrontational Federal Communications Commission. So ABC said they would put it on their streaming channel. ABC Radio will air it with comprehensive anchored coverage, and ABC said, but we'll be prepared to break into the network programming, interrupt President Trump's speech if, some significant developments should occur. We'll kind of help you know what the truth is because, you know, you can't trust President Trump. That's the inference. So I want to just examine that for a second because, to me, this is the most crucial. MSNBC, by the way, is doubling down. This is what they're saying. President Trump unspools a multi-pronged conspiracy theory about the 2020 election during a White House address, alleging again, despite vast evidence to the contrary, that American election systems are vulnerable and can be compromised. But now here's the thing I want to tell you. We can be mad at ABC and NBC. We can be mad at CNN. But here's the truth. Fox, as far as I know, after they aired the speech last Thursday night, said nothing about it. I watched several programs all the way through and saw nothing. Nothing, no mention, as though it never happened. Now, if you saw something on Fox differently to that, let me know. You can email me at sandy@afr.net if you saw something on Fox after that speech. And I don't mean immediately after, because they did cover it. They must have said something like, well, that was a speech, at least that. But in the ensuing days, have you heard them once talk about what's happening? Do you have any idea how dangerous that is? Friends, does anybody remember what happened the night of the 2020 election when the counting just stopped? President Trump was, if you were watching Fox like we were, Bruce and I were sitting right there watching Fox, suddenly the counting is shut down. And they say they're going to stop until the morning. And when the counting stopped, President Trump was way ahead. And when they came back in the morning, suddenly Joe Biden was way ahead. Anybody remember that? And does anybody remember how bad Fox was reporting? How gleeful, really? I remember how gleeful the guy in charge of their elections, a person I had never seen before, was the one who decided to shut it down. Fox actually called the election for Joe Biden in Arizona when the polls were still open. It was way too early. It was really a travesty, and most people were so upset they stopped listening to Fox for months, if not years, and I was one of them. I used to work for Fox. You must remember that. 7 years I was on the air with Fox News. So I was very upset, but gradually because Fox shifted. They lost a lot of their listenership. And even though the son of Rupert Murdoch is very, very liberal, they realized they were losing audience, so they started letting their hosts then be conservative again. Suddenly they flipped. Bret Baier used to be a fan of Trump, and then he wasn't a fan of Trump, and then he became, I mean, it's just all over the map. So some people remained good, but they weren't allowed to talk about this election. So now you will see that the people that you trust on that network are not speaking about this. And this is the most important story of our time. The most important story. All right, let's continue with President Trump's speech. And this time he talks about a discovery in a room at the FBI. Here he is.
Recently, we found significant numbers of burn bags in formation. And this is a group of bags that were used to destroy information given by President Barack Hussein Obama to be burned. It was supposed to be burned. These bags were supposed to be at a different level by different people, incinerated and checked, but it never happened. Maybe we got lucky. We believe this was not done on purpose, but rather through gross incompetence of the people that were supposed to burn the bags. But the findings are stunning. Today, I'm asking the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the CIA to investigate how and why such crucial information was hidden, to fire those involved in the cover-up, and to file criminal charges, if appropriate, against these people. Yet concealing China's meddling was only the beginning.
The third set of documents, we are releasing proofs that for many years, Americans were blatantly lied to about the security of our election infrastructure, including electronic voting machines and ballot counting systems, dishonest almost all. They're vulnerable and they're easily compromised, and people within our government knew that. Tonight, we're publishing a series of previously classified U.S. intelligence community assessments and other reports proving that our government has long known these machines are extremely exposed to attack. As one assessment states, we judge that the United States adversaries, including at a minimum Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, as well as non-state groups, have the capability to compromise U.S. election infrastructure. That's unquote, but that's some statement, isn't it? Made by supposedly great patriots of our country. The document goes on to further state that, quote, we assess that centralized election-related data repositories, such as voter registration databases, poll books, and other official election websites, are most vulnerable to exploitation, and adversaries could use this access to these systems to disrupt election processes within the United States of America. Tonight, we're releasing all of those findings, and spanning from January 2020 to June 2026. This is a cyber threat aimed at the very heart of our democracy. Many people have questioned whether it could actually be possible to electronically manipulate vote totals or change election results on these terrible machines. Today, we are releasing documents that show the CIA obtained reporting of a specific plot to do a big number in favor of the corrupt Maduro regime in Venezuela. And that's exactly what happened, conspiring to digitally rig their own country's elections in 2020, and that's what they did. This reporting included precise details about methods to regime develop to digitally alter vote totals in ways that could not be detected even with an audit, no matter how deep they went. This intelligence underscores why we must take urgent action to ensure that our own system can never, ever be hacked or compromised like it was in the past.
Okay, so you might remember that on this show, again, I've discussed the machines a lot. And probably, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I devoted an entire show to the newest revelations because we had engineers from Venezuela who have now under oath, engineers from their engineering school, which is supposed to be comparable to ours here, who developed these machines on behalf of Chavez to make him win the election. And it worked, and they did it. So then they brought those machines to this country. And so these guys have been testifying under oath to our agencies, our courts, I'm not sure, I think courts, about what really actually happened. We know for a fact that those voter machines were compromised and changed. That doesn't mean that's the reason we lost every election, but I guarantee you that's enough to make us lose every single election. And the way people were mocked for that, my friend Tina Peters spent 600 days in prison over this issue, even though she was a clerk and had the proof that the machines were changing the votes. And that's the reason she spent 600 days in prison. They wanted her to die in prison. They sentenced her to 9 years to keep her quiet. And so I want to actually, Adam, let's put up on our Sandy Rios 24/7. Let's repeat. We're going to post again that show that we did that had interviewed two of the gentlemen who did the they're American national security experts. But one is, I believe, a Cuban. I'm not. He's Hispanic, and he's been very involved in the middle of investigating all of this. I think his name is Martin. We'll put that on our post it again so you can watch it. And please do. Please watch it so that I don't have to explain it again, because it's all there and you're going to learn a lot. I have to say something more about Fox here now and Newsmax, because this is so important. You have to understand that you are not, if you are watching Fox right now, and that's the only place you're watching, you are, it's as though you will know nothing. It's a pretend. It's they're pretending. They're good in Iran, as far as I can tell right now, for which I'm grateful. But if they can't speak about this, think about the repercussions. That will do nothing about the voting machines, nothing about the SAVE Act. And I want to tell you more about them. So what happened with Fox was they got sued by Dominion voting machines. Dominion voting machines sued everybody. They sued Newsmax. They sued everyone, radio networks, everything. People were scared to death to talk about the voting machines, and so they didn't. But with Fox, they were sued by Dominion, but Fox got the entire briefing that I've actually seen on the voting machines. They got that a long time ago, and they knew that the voting machines were corrupted. So they could have gone to trial with Dominion, and all of that evidence would have come out. But instead of that, they took $750 million in a settlement and refused to let it go to trial, and then refused to say anything more about the Dominion machines. That's what Fox did, and you need to know that. Now, Newsmax had a different situation. They, like the other outlets, I can't say every outlet. I don't know every outlet, but I do know about Newsmax. They were sued by Dominion, and the suit for them was, you know, losing their license and losing their, there were all kinds of things at stake, losing their way to broadcast the news. And so they were intimidated. They were blackmailed into being quiet, and they did it. They were quiet. But now they're the best network out there. They're talking about this 24/7, and I just suggest that you switch your dial to Newsmax if you want to know the truth about what's happening in your country. Before we go on, honey, any comments about what President Trump just said?
Well, again, I would emphasize to you the reach of the deep state that so many people deny exists. And remember, the deep state, what it is, it's for the most part government officials and agencies unelected by us, who really control what goes on in those agencies and often is doing the bidding of the Democrats. And also the point you made about the networks being afraid. I remember One America News was sort of a new, relatively new network when this was going on, and they basically just stopped covering this issue because they were threatened with being taken off altogether.
Bruce, they were taken off. That's what happened. Okay. They were taken off, but then they had to go just online. And so there were some heroes in this. It's terrible, isn't it?
And I think another thing that we have to remember is what we're talking about here, when you talk about voter records, why it's so dangerous is that normally that information is protected very it's very highly protected, because here's what can happen. The information that China got can be used to register people falsely to vote. And that's where the problem lies, is you already heard that there was a plot to create false ballots to count towards Joe Biden. Well, the way they would have done that is take this information that was gathered illegally and then register people. And you hear it all the time. People will go in to vote and they'll be told, oh, you've already voted. And they're like, no, I haven't. I came in today to vote. And they say, oh, yeah, you've already voted. So what's happening in many cases is the bad actors for the Democratic Party are taking these registrations and they are ghost voting people. In other words, they're filling out ballots because they have the registration information, and they're filling them out in multiple for Joe Biden or whichever candidate it's going to be. They ballot harvest. We remember what a problem that was, you know, that you have people walking up to, like you say, these ballot boxes that are in the middle of nowhere that are unwatched, and they dump in 1,000 ballots. And guess what? Every one of them is for the same candidate. So this is where the vulnerability lies with this. It's not just that they have your information, but it's the way it can be used. And also the astounding number, 220 million records. Well, when you subtract the amount of people that are under the age to vote here in the United States, our population about 330 million, That's almost every voter record in the country.
Yes. And I would like to emphasize, we'll talk about this more. What the news about China is shocking. Now that we actually know, we know exactly what they did. But there are other bad actors. There are people that did horrible things because they didn't want President Trump to win. So they gladly cooperated. I think some of them were Republicans as well. But let's continue with President Trump's speech, because he goes on to say, well, clip 24.
The fourth set of documents reveals that even when significant evidence of fraud has been detected, it has been buried and covered up. Among the disclosures tonight are FBI files detailing evidence of alleged fraud by a large-scale voter registration operation in Michigan. In 2020, Michigan State Police raided a Democrat Get Out the Vote organization, corrupt group, in Muskegon. And we're so concerned by what they found. They were just so concerned, they couldn't believe it, actually, that they contacted the FBI in Detroit. The documents state that some canvassers admitted to FBI agents that they signed voter registration forms in other people's names, submitted fraudulent registration for people who did not exist, and received gift cards tied to their number of applications that they produced. In other words, it was pay, play, and cheat. The FBI agents working on the case believe that crimes were committed, yet the Biden Department of Justice slow-walked the investigation and killed it. Tonight, I'm asking the FBI director to ensure that the matter is fully investigated and to work with the Department of Justice to prosecute those responsible for any crimes. Finally, to reveal just how vulnerable our elections continue to be, we are releasing the results of a stunning investigation by the Department of Homeland Security. According to the DHS review, state voter rolls and public records, they identified approximately 278,000 non-citizens who are registered to vote in federal elections. Since Democrat states refused to share their voter files, the real number is actually much higher than that. Yet, even this limited analysis found more than 250,000 foreigners illegally registered to vote. Put together, these disclosures reveal an election system so broken and so vulnerable that no one can possibly defend it. It is not defensible. Hundreds of millions of U.S. voter files are in the hands of foreign governments. Our machines and ballot counting systems are exposed to hacking and manipulation and corruption. China and other countries have been trying to meddle in our elections. Evidence of fraud has been buried. Hundreds of thousands of non-citizens and dead people are listed and active on the voter rolls. And yet we still have elections with no voter ID, no proof of citizenship, and tens of millions of ballots floating aimlessly through the mail. As one example of the insanity, California's recent election for mayor of L.A. and governor was held on June 2nd, a long time ago, but it was just completed a few days ago on July 10th. Think of that, much more than 1 month. It took a month to count the votes. I wonder what they were doing. This is worse than any third world country. There's no third world country that has elections like we have.
Yeah, no third world country has elections as bad as we do. It's just amazing. And I think we should be ashamed that we've allowed it to go that far. On a different conversation, Bruce and I are going to talk about the agencies, because now we have thousands and thousands of pages of documents of the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, how they worked against the president and refused to inform him about what they knew.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, this is, to me, one of the most shocking parts of the documents that are being released, is the number of non-U.S. citizens that are not just here, but that are registered to vote and are voting. Over 250,000. And as the president said, that's based on a less than 100% sampling of the states. It's actually based on very few of the states.
It's just four states.
Yeah.
It's just four states.
And you think about the margin of victory in these elections. It's often a point or so. You're crazy if you don't think that these non-citizens can affect who actually wins. And I'm so sick of hearing the Democrats try to rebut this problem with, well, there's already laws on the books that prevent non-citizens from voting. Well, if there are those kind of laws, they're not working. And so that's a fallacious argument. You know, Sandy, it drives us crazy. The Save America Act is sitting right there in front of the Senate. It asks for three things regarding voting. That a voter must have photo ID. You have to have ID to do all kinds of things, to buy liquor, to buy cigarettes, to get on a plane, to cash a check, you name it. You've got to have an ID. That you be able to prove that you're a United States citizen. They keep acting, the Democrats, like this is so hard to do. How is it so hard to prove that you're an American citizen? If you immigrated here, you will have documents that you've been given citizenship. And the final one, the abuse, and I think this is really the soft spot here, the abuse of the mail-in ballots. We have states, I hate to say it, even Florida, that mails ballots to every single voter. Why is that necessary? Like President Trump says, we can have an election where if you are gone traveling, if you're in the military, or if you're disabled or sick, and you cannot get to the poll, you can vote with a mail-in ballot. But other than that, if you're that concerned about voting, you can't go six blocks down the street to go to your polling place. I don't believe that's the reason that mail-in ballots are used anymore.
Yeah, they thought of everything. And actually, for decades, Cleta Mitchell, who's the head of the Election and Integrity Network, which I have so much to tell you, but I can't do it today. I just can't do all of it today. But American citizens like you have taken this on. They have collected massive amounts of documents proving in their state what they saw and what they did. And they don't care. They don't care about the criticism. And some of them have paid a huge price for taking such a bold stand. We owe them a great debt of gratitude, including this panel that John Solomon is in charge of. A lot of great people. We'll talk more about that, too. They're going to be releasing more and more and more. So we're going to be talking about this steadily for the next weeks to come. Now, before we listen to this last clip of President Trump, let's listen to it, and I'm going to tell you something else as we conclude this show. This is President Trump's last few moments of his speech on the lack of integrity in our elections last Thursday night.
In a rare move, NBC and ABC Fake News have both said that they would not cover this speech. They knew what it was about because of the fact that they don't like the topic, because they know how corrupt our system is and they don't want to reveal it. They and others in the media are part of a plot. They want to continue this fraud for whatever reason. They want to keep it going. They want to protect the radical left. They can't have a great country, and that's true. You can't have a great country without free and fair elections. Fraud like this should mean a revocation of their licenses. They use our public multi-billion dollar in value airways for absolutely no money. They pay nothing. All we want is honesty in our elections and honesty in reporting. They pay nothing for multi-billion dollar assets. Great damage has been done to our country. Our elections were left vulnerable to being rigged and stolen, and the trust of the American people was lost. This cannot be allowed to continue. Every American, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, or otherwise, should be able to agree that we deserve the most secure, honest, and fair election system anywhere in the world. Secure elections should be a partisan, really, we should be together, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody, and it should not be a partisan issue. It should cause to unite us, not to divide us. This should be a cause. We should be united, not divided. In light of the brand new and irrefutable information I have revealed tonight, my administration is in the process of notifying the states whose election data was compromised by the People's Republic of China and many others. We will be working closely to mitigate any harm, and we're taking swift action to ensure that sensitive voter data is better protected so we can never be bought, we can never be hacked, and we can never watch a stolen election again. Tomorrow, the Secretary of Homeland Security will hold a briefing to outline his department's recent work confirming cyber vulnerabilities in our electronic voting systems. They are bad. We're in the process of informing governors, senators, and members of Congress of potential issues in their states. If you look at voting today, it's in such bad shape in so many states, and we are committing to fix it. And we're also committing to be working with those states and local jurisdictions to help them fix and patch known technical vulnerabilities before the midterm elections. We have very important elections coming up. We want those elections to be honest. I've also ordered DHS to notify every state about non-citizens on their voter rolls and direct them to remove all ineligible voters from the lists immediately. But most importantly, addressing this crisis of election security demands that Congress must pass the Save America Act. How easy is that to do unless you want to cheat? The only reason you wouldn't do it is you want to cheat because your policies are so bad and your candidates are so pathetic that you can't get away or can't get elected any other way. This landmark bill requires that all voters must show photo voter ID. How simple is that? Could I have your photo, please? Photo voter ID. All voters must provide proof of citizenship. Are you a citizen of our country, please? And hopefully there will be no corrupt mail-in ballots, which if you watched California and so many other places, mail-in ballots are inherently corrupt. So you would have no mail-in ballots except for illness, disability, military deployment, or travel if you're going away on business or vacation. These reforms are urgently needed to stop the vulnerabilities that I've mentioned. To all Americans, I ask you to pick up your phone tomorrow, call your representatives in the House and Senate, and demand that they pass the Save America Act without delay. Together, we will restore faith and confidence in our country, and we will be bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. Thank you. God bless you. God bless our great military, and God bless America. Thank you very much.
And God bless our president, President Donald Trump. And, you know, he's just been under threat. Iran is very explicitly... They got billboards all over the country saying they're going to kill him. They show him in a casket. The man is under so much pressure, and yet our media is so disrespectful, and so are our senators. I want to give you an example of this. Bruce, you're the one that pointed this out to me. This is Tom Tillis. He's walking down the hall in the Senate, and a reporter named Sarah Gonzalez comes upon Senator Tom Tillis. Remember that Tom Tillis laughs about the Save America Act, and over his dead body, will it get passed? So I wonder why. Let's listen.
Senator, you've received almost $700,000 from the illegal labor lobby. Is that why you voted against the Save America Act?
Can you tell me who the illegal labor lobby is?
Yes, it's contractors, general contractors, hospitality companies, industries, construction companies and
how
industries.
Do you know about the Save America? Which Save America Act are you talking about?
The one that you voted against, sir.
Okay. And so you're asking me if I voted, I was against it because...
You're receiving almost $700,000 from these lobbyists.
Do you have any idea what a remarkably silly question that is?
I think it's a pretty important one. I think your constituents want to know why you're betraying them.
Some math. Do you know what my election cycle, the total all-in election cycle cost was in 2020? It's $300 million. Do you honestly believe that I would make a policy decision based on that?
I don't know why you're betraying your constituents.
Who do you work for?
I'm independent.
Okay.
Why are you betraying your constituents?
Good luck on the clicks.
Why are you betraying your constituents, Senator?
Good luck on the clicks.
We just want secure elections, Senator. You're preventing us from getting that. You're betraying America.
Good luck on your job.
Good luck on yours. What a strange thing for Senator Tillis to say. $700,000 is not enough. He's a sellout, but not that amount, because he receives $300 million. If I were an honest person and I were answering that question, I would just say, I'm not a sellout to anyone. I don't sell out for any amount of money. But Tom Tillis says he sells out, but not for that amount.
Go, Sarah Gonzalez, whoever you are, go, girl. And that's so disgusting, Bruce. Because that's exactly what he said.
Yeah.
That's funny. You think I'd sell out for $700,000.
And there you have it, encapsulated. What's so much wrong with our government is illustrated by that. Like, well, if it was more than $700,000, I might sell out. But since it was only $700,000, I didn't sell out.
That's just silly. How dumb of you.
I want to go back just for a second, Sandy. I wanted to say that this to me was absolutely chilling when the information was released in these documents, and there's proof that the Chinese basically told our government, make Trump resign before the 2020 election or lose the 2020 election. And you know that they were serious about this, because if you remember what came out right about then, the COVID virus. And if you think China wasn't serious about beating Donald Trump, to me, you will never convince me that the COVID wasn't released by the Chinese, because President Trump obviously was going to win re-election, and he was coming down so hard on China, and he was sticking up for the United States. So I didn't want us to leave before we again highlighted that.
Yeah, that's good, honey. And again, I have Gordon Chang will be on their next podcast, and we'll ask him a lot more about what China actually did. But back to the Senate. Bruce, I just got this morning, Tuesday, July 21st. There was some sort of a vote in the Senate, and 10 Republican senators missed the vote. One hasn't been seen in public for over a month. Can't imagine who that might be, but his name is, you know, his wife is Chinese.
I think he's from Kentucky.
Yeah, and five of them are on a taxpayer-funded vacation in Europe under the guise of an air show in England. This is what they're doing. President Trump is revealing this information. He's asking them to vote the SAVE Act, and they're off on vacation or they're laughing. These are the men who represent us, and they are Republicans. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, get off your duff. I get off my duff too. Let's get serious about our elections and stop letting people like Tom Tillis run over Mitch McConnell. How Kentucky? Why in the world? Over and over have you elected him? Have you never thought that it's strange that his wife is Chinese? I don't know if Elaine Chao has, you know, done anything nefarious with the communists, but gee whiz, she's very close to them. Doesn't that seem strange when they're one of our greatest enemies and they're coaching the Congress, they're coaching media, they're coaching everybody to destroy President Trump? And Mitch McConnell is one of his greatest enemies in the Senate? I just wonder. I scratch my head and wonder.
Well, and I get so furious, Sandy, because you hear these senators whining, really, John Thune, Barrasso, Tom Tillis, saying, we don't have time to debate these things. They don't have time? Oh. Meanwhile, look at the story you just read. These guys are off gallivanting in Europe. Tom Tillis, specifically, about 2 months ago, took an afternoon of the Senate time so they could have a dog show. The senators could bring their dogs
in
and parade them through the Senate chambers.
Dress them up and had little. That's what they did that whole afternoon. And that's during the time when they just didn't have time. They couldn't be bothered. Really and truly, we have allowed our congressmen to get so entitled and corrupt. And honestly, I could give a lot, you know, do this, do X, Y, and Z, but I'm telling you so that you'll know, we need to pray for God's intervention. Remember that Benjamin Franklin said, and we've learned through the years, that God does dwell in the affairs of men. Remember Benjamin said, and if a sparrow falls from the ground and he doesn't notice, you think he doesn't care about what happens in government. And so we need to pray, and we need to be more righteous ourselves, more honest, more intent on our own personal virtue, so that God will hear our prayers and do his man, oh man, if he gets involved in this, these guys are going to fall like a like tiny tin soldiers. They're going to crash and burn. And so that's really what we need to do. Plus, then now let's engage in this election, and get something done. And let's call. By the way, if you haven't called your Senate, just get the number. I don't have the Senate number right now, but it's easy to find. Just look up your senator and get their number and call and leave a message. Best usually in their home office, actually. That's closer to them, where their staff is smaller and you don't have so much bureaucracy. And you don't have to be mean. You can be straight. Shoot straight like a bullet. I don't mean a bullet, okay. I just mean shoot straight from your mouth about the truth and challenge them to do their job, and they were watching. And they're not going to get away with this. So, here's the phone number. Thank you, honey. The Senate switchboard is 202, Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. So call them and ask for your senator's office, your senator, and just be thoughtful about it. Don't be, you know, like so angry that you can't talk. Just be angry and, you know, don't call them names. Just be angry about what they're doing and speak straight to them and that you're watching, and they won't have your vote in the future. You're going to work against them. Whatever you want to say that's honest. All right, I think that's everything, honey, today. Any final thoughts from you?
Well, just to reiterate what we said, the Save America Act is sitting right there. It's probably the cure for 90% of the problems we're having with elections. There's always going to be some cheating. That's just human nature, but we make it so easy right now, and this act would go so far in stopping that.
Yeah, we got to stop it, and so it's 80% approval rating for Democrats and Republicans. That's because it's like President Trump said, they must like the cheating. They must want to cheat, and that goes for those Republicans, too. They must like that cheating. It must have benefited them in some way, and that is just repulsive to me, just repulsive. So let's call and tell them to stop it. And take action. And I'll have a lot more. I'm going to have a lot more for you. So I hope you'll stay tuned in the coming weeks. You know, Preborn is our sponsor. And if you'd like to help them, please do. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous donation. And also, so honey, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Nice to have you. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.